Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday somewhere, and we hope to see you listening to the Giant Bombcast. We're independent games media, and you can find us hooligans every Tuesday discussing the newest video game releases or whatever we're currently into.
We also discuss all the biggest stories in the world of games. Collectively, we have decades of experience covering the biggest companies and sneaky little indie darlings, but we also have years of experience being a cool hang. The Giant Bombcast is like listening to your friends goof and gab about the games and stories that matter to them and you.
Giant Bombcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The British royal family, crowns on the outside, chaos on the inside. On the podcast Palace Intrigue, we cover the stories behind the headlines every day with a dozen new episodes every week. Meghan and the controversy that never quits, William and Kate quietly waiting for their turn on the throne, and former Prince Andrew, well, always a story unto himself. It's smart, it's sharp, and a little snarky. It's Palace Intrigue. And when you're ready to go deeper into the royal verse, we have King William, a speculative fiction podcast. Think The Crown, but set in the future. And another series, Crown and Controversy, the stories that continue where TV's The Crown ended. Join us for daily royal news with context, clarity, and just a hint of mischief. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight was the final Dynamite before Forbidden Door. Thank God. Forbidden Door is coming up on Sunday. I really wish I could tell you that I'm super stoked for Forbidden Door this weekend. I'm really not. I wish I could be more up for it, but, you know, again, I just think the whole thing has run its course. I can't wait for it to be over so we could just move beyond this, and we've got Redemption coming up and then the big Wembley show in August. So this is the final Dynamite before that. We did have 8 matches on the show tonight, and they didn't really go all that much overtime. I mean, they've gone way overtime in the past, beyond the top of the hour. And they really didn't go too far overtime tonight, and they were able to condense 8 matches into those 2 hours. So we definitely got our fill of wrestling here on this show, if you're looking for a bunch of wrestling matches. And none of them were bad. You know, some were better than others, but I really can't sit here and tell you that there was a bad match on the show. In the main event, they had the International Championship defended. Konosuke Takeshita defending against Ricochet. Of course, I mean, look, we all knew how this was going to go. Obviously, the feud right now is Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. They're actually going to be part of the same main event on Sunday at Forbidden Door. But they went out there and, you know, they had a good main event. Ospreay and Swerve, the two men in the finals of the men's Owen Hart tournament this weekend. They are on a collision course here for the spot to go to the main event at Wembley Stadium. Only one man can go. They were both in action on this show. We had Daniel Garcia against Swerve Strickland. We had ELP from New Japan. They dust him off and bring him in every now and then. He was in there against Will Ospreay tonight. Zack Sabre Jr., who's got a big match coming up this Sunday with Kenny Omega, he was in action against Jack Perry on this show. And we had a couple of matches, qualifying matches, for the Survival of the Fittest bout that's going to be taking place on Dynamite next week to crown a new TBS champion, because the title has been vacant now for about a month. Willow Nightingale got hurt. This is the way that Tony Khan decided he was going to crown a new champion, which was to adopt a Ring of Honor concept. You know, the Survival of the Fittest match in Ring of Honor goes back to, I want to say, 2004. And he's used it in Ring of Honor. Even not that long ago, Athena retained her championship and won in ROH. So this is going to be the first one that we've seen in AEW. And so he decided to have a series of qualifying matches, which, frankly, I think is the better way to go. You know, they could have had a one-night battle royal. I mean, that's kind of cliche. This is a better way to go about doing it, at least because it gives you some matches on television. You know, not unlike what we've seen lately with King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring and the Owen Hart tournaments, or when it's Continental Classic season, where you give these matches a purpose, right? If people are trying to qualify for the match next week or a tournament, whatever it may be, We had two of them on the show tonight. And I think there's one spot left open. There's going to be six women in that match next week. I believe there's one spot left open that'll be filled on Collision, I assume, this weekend. And so that was really it. I mean, we're going to go through this review. I don't suspect this is going to take very long because there's just not a whole lot to talk about, frankly, outside of the wrestling matches that we had here on the show. I am going to go through the card for this weekend later on. I'll run down the Forbidden Door card. We'll do predictions. I've got some thoughts to share on some of the matches and where we are, especially with Mercedes and Maya World. That's going to be the women's Owen Hart final on Sunday. So again, a lot of wrestling on this show. But beyond that, it was your typical AEW go-home show. I don't know, you know, what else to say about it. Nothing more, nothing less. It was pretty much what you would expect. But thank you for hanging out with me here on a Wednesday. It is June 24th, 2026. I am the Solid Monster, and this is your AEW Dynamite Review. When's that show coming up, the Beach Break one? 2 weeks, right? July 8th is the Beach Break episode of Dynamite. That's when they're doing the Chris Jericho Tommaso Ciampa match. And if I had to venture a guess, after Team Briscoe wins in the cage match on Sunday, that would be the place, that would be the night to do the AEW World Championship match between MJF and Mark Briscoe. Because there ain't no way that's going to be the redemption match at the end of July. I would think Beach Break would be as good a time as any to go ahead and knock that match out. Anyway, let's get on with it here. I'm not even going to bother with the likes or anything because there's just no point. Not on a Wednesday. Let's start from the top here. Dynamite, they came on the air. The Death Riders were in the back. They had Will Ospreay with them. He's basically their version of Sammy Uso. And so they're all in the back getting hyped up. They had a whole group huddle and a group hug. Ospreay, he fell backwards. They were doing this weird thing where they were like jumping up and down in a huddle. And Ospreay fell backwards, and I don't know if he fell into a wheelbarrow or what the hell it was. I'm not even sure he was supposed to fall backwards. They were all kind of like, they looked like they were about to corpse on camera, but they looked like they were having a lot of fun. I'm not sure that Ospreay was supposed to fall over the way he did. But they opened with Moxley, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta against Mystico, Brody King, and Bandido. Late in the match, there was a gonzo bomb by Brody that got broken up by Claudio, and Bandido came in. He deadlifted Claudio to a big pop. Yuta flew in with a Busaiku knee. Here comes Mystico, standing dropkick. Brody drops Moxley with a lariat. Now Marina Shafir is on the apron to distract the referee. That allows Claudio to blast Brody with the Continental title right in the head. And Moxley folds him up for the pin to win it. You know, they open the show with these guys, right? The Death Riders. And they treat them like baby faces. And they're kind of acting like baby faces in a way. But then it's back to the old Death Riders bullshit here. You know, the old bullshit finish, the belt shot, you know, the cheating behind the referee's back. Total heel move against the babyface team. And we are getting Jon Moxley and Bandido for the Continental title on Sunday. So if nothing else, we know at least we're going to get a good match out of it. At least we know that much. Beyond that, again, the match was made last week. It came out of nowhere. This is sort of the story of a good chunk, frankly, of the Forbidden Door card, where there was a big flurry this past week where they announced a whole bunch of matches. Shota Umino against Pac. And they just kind of throw them out there. And I'm sure, yeah, some of the diehards and the sickos and whatnot, they don't care because they're going to get, you know, the big interpromotional matches back and forth. But it's just one of the reasons why, you know, I can't really get overly excited for this shit. It's like, whatever. Again, my attitude about it is like, let's just get past this. I'm interested in seeing how the Owen is resolved because that's an AEW thing. And that's been building for weeks and weeks, right? Wouldn't you know, I can actually invest in that and get behind that. But the rest of this stuff, even the Kenny Omega, Zack Sabre Jr. stuff, like I know they're going to have a good match, but it's like, it's just hard for me to get excited. You know, like it's just, yeah, the bloom is off the rose. Harley Cameron against Marina Shafir. This was the first of two TBS title survival of the fittest qualifying matches that we had here on this show. They've adapted, again, the concept from Ring of Honor. This is how they are deciding a new champion. It's all building to a six-person elimination match next week. Pinfalls and submissions count. People just keep getting picked off until there's one left. That last woman left will be crowned the new TBS champion. So they were also promoting tonight, not too heavily, but they were clearly promoting the new Supergirl movie, which I saw debuted on Rotten Tomatoes with like a 59%. I guess to be fresh, you have to be 60, right? 60%. So when it first, now the first reviews came in, I believe the movie was rotten and it was 59%. It went up just over 60. I don't, maybe somebody can check. I don't know where it is now, but not great. Not terrible, but not great. I don't have any interest in seeing Supergirl. I don't know how many people in the chat give a shit if you're going to be there on night one to go see it. But they had a Supergirl tie-in. It's a WB property, so of course they wanted to, use the relationship with AEW synergy, corporate synergy, to promote the movie. So Harley was out there dressed up. I don't know if she was dressed up as Supergirl, but she was basically dressed up as, you know, some sort of Supergirl outfit. And so the finish, you know, when you really think about it, the finish of this match should not have been all that surprising. Once you saw Harley Cameron out there dressed that way, they weren't going to beat her here in this match. 56%, Steven says 56. Is that what it's at now? Oh, it's down. Okay, yes, it's down to 56%. So it is certified rotten on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I wish we had a similar system for wrestling shows. There's quite a few of them that would be certified rotten every single week. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just like I'm looking at the commercials and the trailers and everything, and it just it doesn't appeal to me. But then again, I'm also not going out and seeing, you know, the Avengers movie. I'm not seeing the new Spider-Man movie. The only superhero movie, and it's not even about a superhero, it's about a villain from that universe, the DC universe. The only movie, though, that's kind of tied into the, the comic book world that's coming out this year that I even have an interest in is Clayface, which is a body horror movie. All this other nonsense, like I was over the whole superhero trope years ago. Every now and then I kind of feel like maybe I should jump back into it and see some of the more recent movies. Maybe they've improved. Maybe I've let enough time go by. I don't know. It doesn't really speak to me. Harley got a half crab applied. Marina, though, escaped. She got her in a rear naked choke. Harley, though, rolled backwards into a flash pin, had the leg hooked, and got the three count. So that means that qualified so far in this match next week are Harley Cameron, Chris Statlander, Hikaru Shida, and Persephone, with two more spots to be filled, one of which was filled later in the show. And just going by like what we see here, I wouldn't mind a Persephone win. You know, I know she has the CMLL Women's Championship already. I would not mind a Persephone win in that match next week. Watch the boys if you haven't already. Yeah, I know that they just concluded it, I think. I've had a lot of people recommend that show to me. At some point I will check it out. I want to watch the Penguin first. I just finished season two of The Pit, and so now I'm waiting for season three in January, and I'm going to move on to The Penguin next. Since I know it's only one season, they're not renewing it for a second season. I guess it's just going to be a limited series, and that's it. So I'm going to watch that next, and then maybe I'll do The Boys after that. Let me rephrase that. After that, I think I will watch The Boys. No, see, that sounds just as bad. Let's move on here. We got a video package with comments from Maya World and Mercedes Moné, and the footage of Maya upsetting Athena on Collision last weekend. Maya said that from her teacher to her idol, she's been waiting her entire career for this moment. You know, Athena being a teacher, Mercedes being her dream opponent. She's talked about that before. The dream is about to come true on Sunday. In the video, Monet said, "Congratulations for beating your teacher, but I'm not your teacher, I'm your boss." And after this, there will be no sympathy cards. Dreams don't win championships. She does. And on Collision this coming weekend, it's going to be Mercedes and Athena teaming up to take on Maya World and Hyon. And it's pretty interesting, you know, when you think about, and I talked about this on the Uncrowned Wrestling Show yesterday, which you should all check out, by the way. But I mentioned it's pretty cool when you think about Maya World and where she was less than a year ago compared to where she is now. Remember, it was only a few weeks after the incident with Nixon Newell and Miranda Alizé when they walked out. They were supposed to wrestle a match on Dynamite and do the job. It was going to be a quick match. They, for whatever reason, decided, you know what? This doesn't work for us, brother. And they left. And it was Hyon and Maya World who were there. They were backstage that night. They stepped up and they took their place. And it was only a matter of weeks later that Tony Khan signed them both to contracts, which they did not have. They were being used as extras, basically, up until that point. So to go from being an enhancement talent that they used as an extra or a per-appearance basis and not even being under contract to less than, well under a year later, because this was in, November, well under a year later, here she is now going to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament, and she's going to be wrestling Mercedes Moné. And the winner of this match is going to go on to Wembley Stadium to wrestle for the world championship. That's a pretty big leap for Maya World. And then, of course, you know, the tragedy that took place recently where her brother passed away, 25 years old. So there's a lot that kind of goes into this. It's this feel-good story. She shocked the world, and now she's going to try to, you know, pull off the ultimate upset on Sunday at Forbidden Door. It's a good story. And I thought this video was good. And look, they should keep up with this sort of thing, especially if Tony Khan has an eye towards trying to create a new star with her. And I don't know if that's the goal here, or he's just sort of playing it week to week and saying, hey, let's just roll with the punches here and see where it takes us. But I think more video packages like this and maybe doing like a sit-down interview type of thing, I think that would be a good idea. Specifically with Maya, I'm talking about. You know, kind of the whole Cinderella story, kind of lean into that more. We have Will Ospreay against ELP, El Phantasmo, from New Japan Pro Wrestling. These guys have history in New Japan. They've wrestled many times before. They've had some great matches before. And this was another good one. ELP, he caught Ospreay in a torture rack. Ospreay, though, escaped. Hit a poison Rana for a two count. Ospreay looked for the hidden blade. ELP caught him with a snap Rana. He wanted a pile driver. Ospreay, though, reversed out, and he hit a Styles Clash. Follow that with a hidden blade right to the back of the skull. He didn't even know what hit him. And that was enough for the three count. This is about 10 minutes long. It was good. You know, for the 10 minutes they had, I thought it was good. Now, after the match, Ospreay held his fist out. He bumped fists with ELP. And he was posing for some photos with fans outside the ring. As he was heading to the, or starting to head towards the back, Swerve Strickland's music hits. And Prince Nana walks out, and here comes Swerve. And at that point, Ospreay decided to exit through the crowd to keep his distance. They're going to wrestle on Sunday. Let's just stay away from each other. So he goes through. He did wink back at Swerve, though. He winked at Swerve before he walked away. So that's going to be your Owen Cup final on Sunday. If it's anything like their world title match 2 years ago, it's going to steal the show. But we had Swerve for a match with Daniel Garcia. So for those keeping score, the Death Riders played heel in the opening match, and they used the belt shot to beat the babyfaces. Here in this match, Daniel Garcia comes out, and he's the de facto babyface. He's basically in the babyface role here against Swerve. Strickland called for a house call kick. His leg gave out, though, because Garcia had been working it over. That led to Garcia hitting a Styles Clash for two. Excalibur said it looks like Will Ospreay is having an effect on the Death Riders as much as they are having an effect on him. Garcia took too long, though, to follow up. Swerve caught him with a rolling flatliner, followed by the house call, and Garcia kicked out. And Strickland was setting up for another one, opted instead for a hidden blade. sending a message to his opponent on Sunday. And with that, he picked up the win. So after the match, Swerve was about to snap Garcia's arm. And here comes Will Ospreay out to make the save. And Ospreay took Strickland down. He was about to hit a hidden blade. Prince Nana, though, grabbed the foot. He tripped him up. Swerve flew in with a house call kick. And he was going for a vertebraker. Garcia saved him. But then he ended up taking the vertebraker instead. And Ospreay came back into the ring with a chair. And it was at that point that Swerve and Nana decided to bail. And that was the end of that. Whatever. I mean, pretty basic stuff here. They were able to get both of them in separate matches on the show. One little showcase for each of them before the pay-per-view. I didn't need this to be excited for the match on Sunday. I'm already looking forward to the match on Sunday. Nothing they were going to do on this show was going to get me any more or less excited to see Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay. All I needed to see was the match they had at Forbidden Door in 2024. And as soon as this match was made, as soon as both men made it to the finals, I already knew this right here. This was the match right here that I was looking forward to the most on this pay-per-view. We go backstage to Renee. She is with the DC MJF family, I guess you would say. MJF and all the members of the Don Callis family. Kevin Knight said that Darby Allin should have minded his own business. He also called out MJF right to his face. And he said that when this play date is over, he wants a title shot. And MJF was very flippant. He said, yeah, whatever, kid. So Callis then went over to Okada, and he wanted to know what Okada had to say. Okada only had one word for him, bitch. I can only imagine how many millions of dollars this man is paid every single year. And he's had some banger matches, but he's got the easiest fucking job in the world. Most of the time when he cuts promos, it's one word. He looks in the camera. He says, bitch. He's got to be living on cloud nine, man. He's getting paid a king's ransom to do, just the most basic shit, which to him, I'm sure, comes just naturally. It's like the easiest thing in the world for him. And then every now and then, there's like a big pay-per-view match, like against Takeshita, Double or Nothing, and he kind of turns the jets on, and we see the old Okada come out. And then it's back to the new Okada for a while, until the next big match. Then the old Okada will kind of poke his head out again. Kyle Fletcher said that when the cage is locked on Sunday, he's coming for Takeshita. MJF cut Andrade off, though, before he could even speak. And he said that he's never worked a 9-to-5 job in his life. He gets his porterhouse steak served to him by the hottest waitresses alive, and he calls Mark Briscoe a blue-collar bitch. He said that they had some hiccups last week in their 12-man tag team match, but he isn't blaming anybody, Andrade. But they just need to make sure they're on the same page on Sunday. So Don Callis then pulled out a special gift to show MJF, which was a t-shirt that had his likeness and MJF's likeness on it. It was them like airbrushed in wearing Speedos. And they said, we have shirts for everybody in the family. And the reactions from all of them, they looked like they were about to vomit. Fletcher, Takeshita, all of them had the same universal reaction to this. We had Jack Perry against Zack Sabre Jr. If you've ever seen a Zack Sabre Jr. match, then you knew what to expect here. Zack Sabre Jr. will pick you apart. And in this match, he was targeting Perry's arm. Perry tried for a package pile driver, but because of the bad arm, he couldn't get it. He did get the snare trap applied. Sabre basically laughed it off, easily escaped into a double wrist lock. Perry escaped, though, and he did finally get the package pile driver, or maybe it was a powerbomb, but he only got two. He signaled for the sacrifice knee, and that did not pay off for him. But Sabre was able to get a leg lock trap, and then he transitioned into a bow and arrow. He wrenched back on the arm, and Perry, I don't know if it was a verbal submission, but he basically couldn't tap, but he was kind of nodding his head like, yes, I give up. He had no choice. And so the referee called for the bell. Now, as Sabre was celebrating his win with Bad Dude Tito and Mikey Nichols. The Young Bucks music hit. They made their way out because their match was up next. They were wrestling Bad Dude Tito and Mikey Nichols. And the Bucks won that one with a Meltzer driver. Again, I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. It was a perfectly solid wrestling match, and the Young Bucks won, to the surprise of no one. After that match was over, Sabre came back out. He attacked the Bucks until Kenny Omega sprinted out to the ring. He had Jack Perry with him. Omega and Sabre, they had a face-off. Omega hit a snapdragon. He was teasing a V-trigger. Tito, though, pulled Sabre out of the ring to safety. Omega took the mic. He said, nothing personal. He takes that as a warm-up. But Sunday made the best man win. And once he wins, he's out for redemption. There's that word again. Kenny is out for redemption. And after Sunday, everyone will forget about Sabre just like they did last year. So they play Kenny's music, and Sabre's like, no, give me the mic. He's motioning for the mic. So he gets the microphone, they stop the music, and he tells Omega, try to stay out of the hospital. And he drops the mic. And I will point out to you that that is the closest thing to a promo that Zack Sabre Jr. has cut in the entire build, which has been all of 2 weeks, to this match on Sunday. Now, I know to most people who just want to see the two of them wrestle is like a dream match to them. Oh, it's going to be a great wrestling match. They don't give a shit. But I think that's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, you got a big match like this. These are the only words we've heard, really, from Zack Sabre Jr. Quite the promo this man is. We have Queen Aminata against the reigning Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion Red Velvet. TBS title, Survival of the Fittest qualifier. You know, it was in a match with Red Velvet last month on Collision that Willow Nightingale hurt her shoulder, which is what led to all of this in the first place. It's what led to the championship being vacated. Aminata took a rough bump at one point on her previously injured neck and possibly now once again injured neck. I don't know. I think it was more selling than anything else. Nigel McGuinness also drew attention to it on commentary, said that was kind of an awkward landing. I mean, it didn't look like anything egregious. She was grabbing at her neck. Again, I assume she was just selling. She had the kinesio tape on her neck. Velvet landed a frog splash at one point right across the back as Aminata was laying flat on the mat. And she started ripping the athletic tape off of Aminata's neck. So in return, she blasted Red Velvet with a forearm. Velvet hit a kick to the gut. She went for a roundhouse kick. She missed it. And that allowed Aminata to hit her off with her head, which is that running shin kick, as Red Velvet was seated up against the ropes. And she pinned Red Velvet to advance to the big elimination match next week. So we have 5 of the 6 spots now have been filled. Queen Aminata is in there. I will tell you, this was a battle between these two women. I thought this was good stuff. It really was. I thought they went out there. They had a good match. You know, Aminata was getting a decent push before the neck injury knocked her out of the ring late last year. I think it was right before Blood and Guts, so she wasn't able to be in there. Otherwise, she would have been a part of it. And she's only now, I mean, I know she came back a few months ago, but only now it feels like she's really starting to get back into her rhythm. I could see her being a dark horse pick to win that TBS title next week. Yeah, I would like to see Persephone with it. I wouldn't say I'm overly confident one way or the other as far as who's going to walk out with that championship. I'm pretty confident it's not going to be, you know, Statlander. It's not going to be Harley Cameron. Sheeta? I think Sheeta has a chance. I think Persephone has a chance. I think Aminata has a chance. But if Aminata was to take it and this was going to be the start of a renewed push for her, I wouldn't mind seeing that. And Red Velvet, I got to give her a shout out too. I was very impressed by Red Velvet here. She's definitely upped her game. She's been around for a while now. I mean, I can remember a time when she was tagging with Cody Rhodes. I mean, she's been there basically from, if not day one, almost day one in this company. And in that time, she's come a long way. Renee was backstage with the Young Bucks, who were talking about their 3-way tag team match at Forbidden Door this weekend, saying momentum is on their side. They're on their way back to the AEW tag team titles. All of a sudden, they hear a commotion nearby. And the camera pans over, and we see Adam Copeland and Christian Cage brawling with David Finlay and Clark Connors. And Cope and Cage, Cope and Christian, they stop for a moment to look at the Bucks. The Bucks look at them. They kind of acknowledge each other. And then they just continue their brawl, which spilled over into the makeup area. Connors pulled a makeup lady in front of him like a human shield. And then Finlay sprayed hairspray into the eyes of the baby faces, and the dogs wrapped camera cables around their necks and left them laying. Again, this is one of those matches on Sunday that I really just don't give a shit about. I don't care about any of this. You know, we know the dogs are not winning the titles. You know, it's just one of those kind of setup matches to give Cope and Christian a win on their way to Montreal next month and then Wembley in August. And those are really going to be the two big, I don't even know what their match will be at Redemption, but it's Montreal. So you know they're going to be on that show. You know they're going to be defending their titles against somebody. Those are the two big matches that they have coming up. This is just a bump in the road. And the dogs were frankly bungled from the moment they came into the company. And I don't look at them as anything that, yeah, they're certainly not portrayed as anything that is characterized as an important act on the show. So it's a match on the card on Sunday. That's how I'm looking at it. Main event was Konosuke Takeshita defending the international championship against Ricochet. Takeshita caught Ricochet going for a handspring back elbow. He put him down with a blue thunder bomb. And then the champion hit a tombstone piledriver. Then he picked up Ricochet to deliver a German immediately after. Ricochet rallied. He hit Vertigo for a near fall. So Ricochet lowered the knee pad. He was going to hit his own version of a power drive knee, which he did. And then he headed up top for a shooting star press. And he landed it, but Takeshita kicked out. So Ricochet, though, he took forever when he was scaling the ropes, headed back up top. And so Takeshita was able to cut him off. And he delivered an avalanche belly-to-belly suplex, but Ricochet landed on his feet. And he missed the spirit gun. Takeshita tried a power drive knee. Ricochet, though, jumped up for a hurricane runner, but he got planted with a powerbomb for a two count. Takeshita was going for the power drive knee when Ricochet pulled referee Paul Turner in front of him, kind of. That allowed Ricochet to hit a headbutt into a Rico salt for a near fall. He wanted a spirit gun. He got turned inside out, though, with a lariat. And finally, Takeshita hit the power drive knee and the raging fire for the win to retain the championship. Good main event. Good main event. I didn't love this the way that I loved that Mark Davis-Will Ospreay match in the main event a few weeks ago. But this was good. Anytime we get Takeshita in the main event, I can't complain. Ricochet at this point, he's not really involved in anything specific. He doesn't have a match on Sunday. But, you know, Ricochet can always be relied on for being able to go out there and have a good match. Takeshita, I mean, it's not like he had to worry about carrying the load here. Takeshita, he's a very able-bodied opponent. You kind of figured you were going to get a good match out of these two. Takeshita was heading towards the back after the match when Mark Briscoe's music played and he came out. The two of them shook hands. They're going to be on the same team on Sunday in the main event. So again, Takeshita in the main event tonight, Takeshita in the main event on Sunday. Briscoe got in the ring by himself and we were beyond the top of the hour at this point. He said he and his friends were ready to have some fun in the cage. Said they have a bit of a reputation in these types of matches. This has more on the line, though, because with a win here, he can earn himself a shot at the AEW World Championship. Briscoe took issue with MJF's claim that he's not championship material. Briscoe said that MJF, he beat his ass once, which he did. That was it All Out last year. And he knows he can do it again. Briscoe said he's going to head into battle with brothers that he would die for, and they would die for him. Meanwhile, MJF has the Don Callis family, and he doubts that any of them would piss on MJF if he was on fire. So Don Callis walked out. He distracted Briscoe. And this is where, you know, we got the big ending here where everybody gets to come out and hit a big move and do a big spot. MJF shows up behind Briscoe and attacks him. Briscoe, though, he regroups pretty quick, sets up for a J-driller, but here comes Kyle Fletcher, and he cuts him off, delivers a brain buster to Briscoe. Takeshita comes back out. He hits Fletcher with the Raging Fire, but then Okada's out there, and Okada drops Takeshita with a Rainmaker. Kyle O'Reilly enters. He puts Okada in the ankle lock. Kevin Knight breaks that up with a springboard clothesline into the ring. Darby Allin shows up. He hits the ring. He drops Kevin Knight with a Scorpion Death Drop, and he quickly goes up. He's going to go for a coffin drop, but Jake Doyle catches him and plants him with a Boss Man Slam on the way down. And so Doyle got the better of Roderick Strong when he came out, and Orange Cassidy comes out. He hits Doyle with a pair of orange punches. Roddy then suplexed Doyle. MJF hits Cassidy with a kick to the balls. Briscoe sets up MJF for a J-driller, but here comes Andrade. What's he going to do? And Andrade El Idolo shows up. He breaks things up. MJF and Andrade, they start arguing, and they start shoving. And Don Callis is out there. He's on the apron trying to calm down Andrade. Now, Andrade is holding Briscoe. MJF pulls out the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and he goes to blast Briscoe with the ring. Briscoe ducks, and MJF hits and knocks out Andrade instead. So he's looking down at Andrade, and he's calling him an idiot. And Briscoe hits MJF finally with the J-driller, and Team Briscoe stands tall to close out the show. So last week it was Team MJF standing tall. This week it was the babyfaces standing tall. Under normal circumstances in wrestling 101 logic, that might be bad news for the babyfaces. There's no way the babyfaces lose on Sunday. There's 0% chance that Team Briscoe does not win this match on Sunday. 0% for a couple of different reasons. Well, for one, we know there's going to be a world championship match between MJF and Mark Briscoe. They've already built it up enough to where they have to deliver it. So his team has to win. But everything that's been going on with MJF and Andrade, Andrade is going to be the death knell for this team on Sunday. And I was figuring, you know, Jake Doyle is in there to take the losing fall for his team. It may well be MJF. Can't rule out that MJF himself may take the losing fall, but I just figured that's why Doyle was added to this team. But Andrade, I think, is ultimately, like, they're just not going to be able to coexist. And it's going to lead to their downfall. Andrade already feels like he's got one foot out the door anyway with this faction. But that is how Dynamite went off the air. If you were looking for a lot of good wrestling matches, you got 8 of them. Got a lot of wrestling on this show, not a whole lot else. Like last week, for example, we had this great face-to-face promo and the interaction between Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. We didn't have anything like that on the show this week. A very, very wrestling-heavy show, which is fine, but it's not very exciting when it comes to really kind of diving deep into a discussion about what was seen on this television show. It's just pretty straightforward shit. But I, for one, will be very happy when we are beyond the Forbidden Door season and we can move on to Redemption, which is this new pay-per-view they have coming up next month. Let me run through this Forbidden Door card here. This is how it stands at the moment. I'll give my predictions as we go along here. The pay-per-view is on Sunday, 7 o'clock pre-show, 8 p.m. main card. I will have my full thoughts and review on the show. We'll save that as an exclusive for the Uncrowned Wrestling Show next Tuesday. I will not be live on Monday morning. But we have the buy-in pre-show. We have the Women's Tag Team Championships on the line. Megan Bain and Alina Cross going to be defending against Thunder Rosa and Olympia out of CMLL. And that will be a win for Divine Dominion. Divine Dominion needs to hold on to those belts at least until Wembley so that they can drop them to the Brawling Birds. The Young Bucks are going to be taking on El Sky Team, which is the team of Mystico and Mascara Dorada, and Unbound, team of Shingo Takagi and Titan. Should be a win for the Young Bucks. I mean, clearly they're being built up for a tag team championship match. I just think it's more important for them to pick up the win here. The newly crowned IWGP Global Champion, Shota Umino, will put his brand new belt on the line against Pac of the Death Riders, and he will retain that championship because he just won it. He ain't losing it to Pac. Kenny Omega against Zack Sabre Jr., that will be a win for Kenny Omega, who, very clear to me, is going to be challenging MJF for the World Championship in the main event at Redemption. It would be silly for him to come out of this with a loss. World Tag Team Championships on the line. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage defend against the Dogs. This will be a win for Cope and Christian. Continental title on the line. Jon Moxley defends against Bandido. I don't know how many of you heard the comments that Bully Ray made on Busted Open Radio the other day, the very dumb comments about Jon Moxley, where, you know, he said that Jon Moxley is playing out his pro wrestling fantasies on television. He's got Tony Khan's ear and he wants to be Terry Funk. He says he would kick the shit out of Moxley. He would beat the living shit out of him, is what he said. And I said this on Uncrowned. I mean, it sounds to me like Bully is shooting his own angle, or more likely trying to take some of the heat off his boy, his fellow Busted Open co-host Tommy Dreamer, who has not had a very good week. But then Josh Barnett responded, the former UFC heavyweight champion, Josh Barnett. And he's very good friends with Jon Moxley, so he was sticking up for him. And he said on X, he said, interesting take here, Bully. Mox can handle himself just fine, so he doesn't need me to fight any battles for him. But if you ever have the itch to feel what it would be like to have your ass kicked so thoroughly to the point of epic humiliation, I can help you with that. I can not only beat the shit out of you, but do so in a way as to make your ass kicking legendary. For you, anytime, just ask. I would do an emergency live stream here on YouTube just to review the shoot fight between Josh Barnett and Bully Ray. This week's episode is sponsored by Wix. It can be hard to break through all the noise these days if you're a small business owner, which is why you want to make sure you've got the right website that's going to grab people's attention. With Wix Harmony, you can do just that. Build and customize your website to look and feel exactly the way that you want it to. And you could do so without being an expert in coding. You'll just have other people thinking you are. Wix Harmony is an AI website builder that allows you to get your website up fast, making sure that it stays true to your vision of what you want it to be. Its AI capability is the secret sauce here, but even with the AI component, you still have the ability to go hands-on with your site and customize it to your liking. The two go hand in hand. They complement one another. Aria, your personal AI agent, is there to help answer your questions and get important things done. You have the power to click anywhere on your site and ask her to make changes instead of wasting time entering prompt after prompt. Then you can move things around as you see fit, if you wish, to get the perfect website. It's just that simple. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the more than 280 million businesses around the world that already use Wix. And try Wix Harmony right now to see for yourself at wix.com/harmony. That's wix.com/harmony. We have the AEW Women's Championship on the line. Tekla is defending her title against Starlight Kid, representing Stardom. Starlight Kid is very good, and I believe Tony Khan has said that she is his favorite wrestler outside of AEW. Either outside of AEW or outside the U.S., I think he said outside of AEW. So she's coming in, and that's kind of a big deal, you know, as far as a Stardom representative, right? She's a big one. And they've been telling the story now really since Tekla came into the company of her being fired from Japan and beating up the president over there, you know, Taro Okada. They had footage on the show tonight showing the angle from the show, like within the last week, she showed up in Stardom. And again, attacked the president of the company and took the shears and tried to shave his head. Every opportunity that this woman has had in the build-up to this pay-per-view, she has taken every opportunity to shit on Stardom, literally spits on the logo. She spits on this company, talks smack about them every single week. And I'm like, man, you're going to make Stardom look really bad here if they send Starlight Kid in there and she loses to Tekla. But this also ties into some stuff I'll talk about here in a second with the Owen Hart tournament and where I think things may be going with the championship. I'm going with Starlight Kid to win the AEW Women's World Championship on Sunday. I think she beats Tekla. She wins the title, and she gets a short run with it. And no, I don't think she goes to Wembley with it. It's going to be a short run. But I'm going to, and maybe I'm putting myself out there on a limb, but I think she's going to win the title. I just think that Stardom has been so thoroughly buried in these promos and everything that Tekla's been doing, that if you were going to throw one of these companies a real bone on this show, instead of just having AEW people win, it would be here. It would be a show of good faith. And you put the championship on Starlight Kid. Now that leads into the Owen Hart Foundation tournaments. We have the finals for both tournaments on Sunday. We'll start with the women. We have Mercedes Moné against Maya World. Two women who were not even in this tournament when it began. They were not in the bracket. It was a series of circumstances that really came to be that led us to where we are now. Willow got hurt. They needed a wild card entry to face Alex Windsor. Tony Khan picked up the phone. He called Mercedes Moné, who was not supposed to be in this tournament. On the other side of the bracket, you got Maya World, who had to step in as well because Ceri had an injury that she was not medically cleared for, so she replaced Ceri. I wonder if the original idea here was to do Willow and Ceri in the finals of this tournament, with Willow Nightingale going to Wembley to challenge for the world championship against Tekla. It feels like to me that may have been the final, that may have been the direction here, but that went out the window. And I mentioned earlier how Maya got this spot, and she got the win over Sky Blue, and that was kind of a big upset. And then she got the bigger upset over Athena on Collision last weekend. And so when I heard about the taping results and people were like, Solid Monster, because I spent all this time last week talking about the big match to do in the finals, it's going to be Mercedes, it's going to be Athena. Clearly that's the match to do. And they taped the show last week and people were like, you're not going to believe who won the match. And I read the results and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And I watched the match, and yeah, they had a good match, and it was this big shocking moment, you know, on Saturday. I'm not happy that we have been deprived of a Mercedes Athena final in this tournament. Clearly, the two biggest matches that you could do at Forbidden Door in these tournaments would be Swerve and Ospreay, Mercedes and Athena. So I'm not happy that we were robbed of that. However, this is where we are now, and Tony Khan has an opportunity, if he takes advantage of it, to at least try to create a new star. Maya World right now has a lot of people talking about her, but is that going to be the case 6 weeks from now? If she goes in there on Sunday and she loses, is she forgotten about? And she just kind of goes back to whatever role that she had before? Or is he really going to try to take advantage of this and parlay this into a really, truly feel-good story that carries over into London? And as I look at this, and I mentioned, I think Starlight Kid wins the championship. I the way I see this playing out, I think Tony takes this all the way to the very end. I think Maya picks up another shock win on Sunday and beats Mercedes. And one of the other reasons why I feel this way, and you saw it even in her promo tonight in that video package, when Mercedes was cutting that promo and she had her Owen Hart belt. She won this tournament last year. So technically, she still has that title. She doesn't defend it per se. She's defending it in the tournament. She's trying to retain that belt in the tournament. She's got one belt left. She's lost every other championship that she's had. 13 fucking belts at one point simultaneously. 12 of them are gone. She's got one left. It really, when you think about it, wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to rob her of the other 12, but then she keeps this one. So I feel like it kind of works where she finally loses that last belt on Sunday. And you give Maya World the feel-good win. She punches her ticket to go to Wembley Stadium, and she may well be the next AEW Women's World Champion. but it's not Maya World against Tekla at Wembley, or Maya World against Starlight Kid. I think Starlight Kid wins the belt. Again, this is my conspiracy theory here. Starlight Kid wins the belt. Mercedes gets a title match at Redemption. Beats Starlight Kid on the July pay-per-view to win the championship. Goes into Wembley as the defending champion. We get a rematch between Mercedes and Maya World. And you've also established that Maya World can beat Mercedes because she already did it at Forbidden Door. She did it once. She could do it again. So at least it gives her that level of credibility. She would be going into Wembley in this case with wins over Athena and Mercedes back to back. That right there should at least make her enough of a player in people's eyes where they at least give her a chance to win the belt on that show. And I would not expect her to win the belt. I would not put the belt on her. Mercedes would beat her in the rematch. But this is how I see things playing out. You know, sometimes you gotta think outside the box and kind of go with your gut. This is just a feeling I have. This is just kind of how I see things playing out. I think Maya wins on Sunday. And if Tony Khan is able to create a legitimate new star in that division out of it, then hey, good for her. I don't know if it's going to work out that way or not, but the journey that she has taken from where she was a year ago to where she is now is pretty incredible stuff. You know, I'm happy for her. Even if she loses on Sunday, it doesn't mean that he still can't try to make her a new star, right? She's already been established by picking up a couple of shock wins. Even if she loses on Sunday, it doesn't mean it has to be the end of the road for her. But boy, it's going to mean so much more if she actually goes all the way and wins this tournament and Mercedes is beltless. Then she could finally challenge for the world title and win it. But you've got to unload this last belt first. Kind of makes sense. In the other Owen final, we have Will Ospreay against Swerve Strickland. This, I'm sure, is going to be just an outstanding match. It's going to be insanity. There's going to be tons of kickouts and near falls. And I think pretty much everybody and their mother and their father and the fucking stranger on the street figures that Will Ospreay is going to win this match. And this is one of those situations where, even though it's predictable is good in this case, predictable is the way to go. This can only go one way. This is going to be a Will Ospreay win. Everything that they have done, every story that they have tried to tell with this man since he came back from the injury, it's all leading to this moment. It's all leading to him being the number one contender in London at Wembley. He used to work as a 15-year-old boy outside of Wembley Stadium, right? It's all building to this show in August with him going for the championship. It can be no other way. So this will be a Will Ospreay win. And then we have in the main event of the show, the 12-man cage match, 6-on-6, Team Briscoe against Team MJF. So it's Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, and Konosuke Takeshita. How many people can we fit into one match at the same time? Taking on MJF, and we have Kevin Knight, and who else is in here? We have MJF, we have Kevin Knight, Kyle Fletcher, Jake Doyle, and Andrade El Idolo. This will be a win for Team Briscoe. He can get his championship match at Beach Break. And then we move on to Kenny Omega and MJF in Montreal at Redemption for the AEW World title. And as I sit here now, it sure feels to me like Kenny Omega is going to get his redemption and going to win the World Championship. And we're looking at Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay at All In. And then the question becomes, what does MJF do? If MJF is not involved in that match, like a three-way, which I wouldn't do, I think a one-on-one in that Wembley main event, a one-on-one is the way to go. Then what does MJF do? MJF, in a lot of his promos, and he didn't do it tonight, but in a lot of his recent promos, he has mentioned Hangman, and he's had a nice laugh at his expense. I do wonder if they're going to bring back Hangman before the show and have another match with him and MJF. To me, that doesn't really appeal to me because we've already seen it multiple times. The last match they had was that Texas Death Match. What else could they possibly do to each other? Like, you can't top what you did in that match to run it back without that stipulation. and without a title on the line wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We were talking about it on TNT last night, and then JD reminded me, because there's been rumors. Yeah, he mentioned Mick Foley, and I was like, oh my God. You can't discount the possibility. I 100%, Mick Foley will wrestle for AEW, and not just once. Like, he will wrestle multiple times. I guarantee you. It's just a matter of when. He said recently in an interview, maybe when he was on Ariel Helwani, maybe in a couple of years from now, we'll look at the possibility of doing a match. Bullshit. He'll be in the ring well before that. Is it going to be so soon that he'll be in the ring at Wembley? It's a big show, I suppose. Maybe that's a goal for him, right? To be able to wrestle at Wembley Stadium in front of, I mean, they're not going to have anywhere close to 50,000 people like they did, you know, 2 years ago. They'll be lucky if they get 30 at this point. But still, it'll be a big crowd. MJF and Foley. I really hope not. I really, 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 really hope that's not what the plan is here. You know what? If that is the plan, then fuck it. Put MJF in the Ospreay Omega match. Make it a triple threat. I take back everything I said before. If that's the best they would have for MJF, just put him in there and make it a three-way at that point. But that is the card. I'm sure they'll probably add some more stuff on the pre-show. I don't know how many matches this is, but it's a lot. You're going to get a lot of matches on Sunday. That is your Forbidden Door lineup. Let me take a look here at what I think we only have three super chats. This is Dynamite. Boy, let me tell you, the Dynamite stuff is getting more depressing by the week. Nobody gives a shit. Bender McSimpson with a $4.99. We'll run through these real quick. Says, I love Athena, but I think she's hit the Dolph Ziggler stage for me. Tony Khan refuses to do anything serious with her, and I don't think that he ever will. Yeah, I don't really understand the desire to keep her attached to that Ring of Honor Women's Championship for this long at the expense of doing more with her. With all the talent that they do have in the AEW Women's Division that she could be working with on a regular basis, not just every now and then. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It seems like a complete waste to me. Yeah, somebody mentioned or asked me something the other day about you know, this whole Maya World thing. Could she be the one to beat, you know, Athena to win the championship in Ring of Honor? I still feel like that's got to be Billy Starks. Yeah, they've had their story going for literally years now. So, no, I don't think that it's Maya World. I think that's a Billy Starks thing. But I agree with you. I don't understand it. Isaac says, buy or sell, a Backrooms sequel or a TV series? I wouldn't mind a TV series. And Misfit Wrestling Podcast with a 5. Stardom revealed their card for their own show on Sunday, and only Starlight Kid is making the trip for Forbidden Door. Well, in that case, you better make it worthwhile. If she's the only one going to represent Stardom, then I would think winning the championship from the woman who has been trashing you and trashing your company, that would be a nice payoff for Stardom. That's all I got for you guys. I don't know what else to say. This is the state of Wednesdays at this point. I'm going to be live with you, though, on Friday for SmackDown. SmackDown is already taped. I have not looked at the results yet, but it was taped yesterday in London because they are on their way to Riyadh for Night of Champions on Saturday. But I will be streaming as normal on Friday. The final 3 hour SmackDown. Ooh. We're going to celebrate. And celebrate on Friday. And then Saturday is Night of Champions, 1 o'clock Eastern. When the show is over, I'll be live on YouTube for the full recap. So you'll get a podcast from me on Saturday and then the usual sound off on Sunday. Sunday is a very busy day wrestling-wise. We got a TNA pay-per-view at 4 o'clock Eastern. We have an NXT show on the CW Network at 7. Forbidden Door at 8, which I will be watching, not reviewing live, though. Again, I'll save that review for Uncrowned next week, but if you're ready for some wrestling, you got a lot of it coming up this weekend, so get ready. Mr. Ozone and Maze in the chat, and everybody else, thank you guys. Those of you who did join me tonight, you guys are awesome. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great rest of your night, and we'll be back soon to do more right here live on YouTube. In fact, on Friday is the next time that you will see me live for the SmackDown post show. Until then, take care, guys.